trying to think about what we can learn that might inspire us for the new year from that story. But you need to go back in history a little bit. Don't need to go back too much and in depth, because Steve did that very majorly a little while ago and very, very well. Moses has been called to go back to Egypt, where he exiled himself from there, and to be God's man, to call God's people out of Egypt. He, along with Aaron, who was called alongside him, saw all the, and Israel saw all the miracles and all the things that happened in Egypt that would cause Egypt eventually to let them go. They'd seen the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. Just 3 days later, Israel was moaning and groaning the fact they hadn't got enough water with them. It's a bit strange, really, as they brought everything else out. They'd actually almost ransacked the Egyptians, but suddenly in 3 days they'd run out of water. And they were complaining, moaning and groaning. But then God showed them where there was some water, but it was bitter, they couldn't drink it. So in a miracle that God did through Moses, that water was made drinkable again. We would call it probably brackish water, water that's become a bit stagnant perhaps, but it became good water. They moved on a little bit further, and they were provided along the way, when they were complaining that they had no food, they were given manna from heaven, this bread of heaven, special stuff that didn't even look like bread. Starting until they played their part in it. And it's only given them for a limited amount of time each day. They complained about that. We get fed up with this stuff, they said to the Lord. So yeah, we want meat to eat, like we had back in Egypt. So God gave them quail. He gave them so much quail that was coming out of their ears. They so much that was crunching under their feet, and they got fed up with that. They moved on. Then they ran out of water yet again. And God said to Moses and Aaron, that rock over there, there's a place called Horeb. That rock over there, go over there and strike it with the staff that you've used before back in Egypt. Strike it with the staff. So go over there. And they strike it twice. That led to some problems for Moses and for Aaron, because God said to strike it. But we read they struck it twice. And in actual fact, later on, I think it's in Numbers or Leviticus, one of the two, it says God actually told them to speak to the rock. But they struck it. There was a certain amount, if you want, of the theatrical in it. And it was going to cause some problems because of that, God said, you have not honored me in this. I've done this, not you. They actually went to that rock and turned around and said to the people, do we really have to do this for you, you moaners and groaners? They took some of the glory of God for themselves. And God said, you're not glorifying me. That's what I desire of you. And he said, because of this, neither of you now are going to enter the promised land. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But as we go through the story, we're going to find out that Moses was allowed to lead the people right up to the border of the promised land, and Aaron was continuing, because Aaron at that time, in effect, was priest in waiting. It almost promised to him he would carry on this role, he'd become a priest towards the Lord himself. They hadn't lost those roles, but what they had lost was the fact they would not enter the promised land, something that I would hope. But to see. In actual fact, Moses did see it. Aaron didn't even get that far. So then they moved on again, and they find themselves at the bottom of Mount Sinai, where Moses was to be given the law. God called Moses up to the mountain, and Moses stayed there with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He ate nothing. Yeah, you know, we do fast sometimes, and you know, we may do because we cut down on coffee or something like that, or you know, no more crisps. We call that fast. But he's fast, he had nothing to drink and nothing to eat 40 days and 40 nights. But he was in the presence of the Lord. If you were in the presence of the Lord right now, then would you find that food and drink would be the first thing on your mind? So the Lord sustained him in his presence in that way. In that time, that 40 days and 40 nights, the Israelites were getting a bit cheesed off. Where's this guy Moses gone to? He's deserted us. He's been gone all this time. Aaron, we want something to worship. We want something that we can see. They'd seen all the miracles of God earlier on, but now they wanted something even more tangible than that. They'd seen all these miracles. They wanted something more tangible. So Aaron said, okay, give us some of your gold, give us your earrings, and I'll make you this golden calf. And that's what he did. And they worshipped. They worshipped this golden calf. Actually, one of the very things that Moses was receiving on the mountain, do not put any god of God before me, do not make an idol of anything, they were actually doing as it was being written. Moses makes his way back down the mountain after being with God. And he hears all this commotion going on. And he looks at them. And he thinks, what's going on? What are you doing? But there they were in revelry, as the Bible says. Leave you to imagination what that might mean. But they weren't worshipping God, they were worshipping this golden calf. And the funny thing about it is that when Moses comes down and he sees this, he is so angry that he throws down the two stone tablets with the law written on them that God himself has fashioned with his own hands. He's frozen down and he smashes them to pieces. Can't even read them anymore. And if he's angry, he's furious, God is near apoplectic. He decides on that time that he is going to destroy, he's going to do away with Israel. I've had enough of them. I've had all the moaning and groaning. Now I'm going to do away with them. I don't want them anymore. But Moses stands in the gap. He spends another 40 days and 40 nights before God in fasting, a complete fast. I said, that's 80 days now he's done this. Man shouldn't be able to survive. But that's what he does. And along with the Levites, much of this you won't have read, you won't have heard in what Jackie just said, but I encourage you to read this through a little later on. And some, much of the Old Testament, I encourage you to read it through. There's so much in there. He and the Levites stand in the gap between God and the other Israelites. And his anger is assuaged. But he does still take a retribution upon him, and that's a terrible retribution. A number died through plague. But then Moses takes Aaron to task. And if it wasn't so serious, it'd be almost comical, wouldn't it? Aaron just stands, it's almost like he's got the golden calf in his hand, he's holding it behind the back. What golden calf? Oh, I don't see no golden calf. Oh, that one. Oh, that. Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. Oh, I can explain that. I just asked them for their earrings and I took the gold from earrings and I threw it in the fire. Now it's a canvas calf. Yeah, pretty amazing, really, isn't it? Miracle. But it had dire consequences as well. Do you have to learn from all of this? Sad thing is, they'd already also been given on that journey where they've not grown so much, they'd even been given a mobile place of worship, the tabernacle, or the design for it anyway. It was ready to be built. Moses had been given the design for it, just the people who'd chosen to do it. And they've been given stuff from Egypt to help with it as well. And they could collect things from around there. So he didn't give them a place to worship that would go with them, as he would go with them. Then comes this amazing story, or part of it anyway, where God calls Moses back up the mountain. And he says, come on, come back up again. You fashion two new tablets, and I'll do the writing on them. I want you to think about that for a moment. You fashion two new tablets, and I'll do the writing on them. And so often, you know, in our lives, we get things wrong, don't we? You do it almost daily. You know, we're talking about New Year's resolutions a little while ago, and we break them so quickly. But so often, you know, those resolutions, if you change that for promises we make to God, we might make them in all honesty, really thinking that's what we want to do. This is where we want to go with you, Lord. And we break them. We turn away from them so easily. But just with those stone tablets, so often God will turn around to us and say, come on, let's work together on this, as he did to Moses. Because he said to Moses, come back up the mountain, fashion two new tablets, you know, like the ones you broke. That's a telling sign, isn't it? You broke. Bring two new ones up. I'll do the writing on them. That new law. Or second given of that law. And so often God will work with us when we feel in a broken place, or when we've broken the covenant with him that we made, then he will work with us to bring us back to a place of completeness. It may even be that he places that law within our hearts, the law of love. Then comes this amazing plea from Moses. He's seen all these miracles, and yet he still desired to know that God was with him. He still desired to know that God was with him. He said, Lord, how am I to know? Who are you going to send with me? He wanted clarification. He wanted to know for definite God would be there. Because God had said, I will send my angel. I've got so fed up with these people. I'll send my angel. Because if I go with you, I just end up destroying them. Again, Moses stands in that gap and says, Lord, how will the nations know we're any different if you don't go with us? And Lord said, okay, I myself will go with you. There's a picture for us of that, isn't it? You know, when we feel so weak, and so, actually, as I did before this service, making a mistake I did, the Lord says, put it to one side, and I will go with you. Most of us would be happy with that, wouldn't we? But not Moses. And he goes on to make this amazing plea to God. Lord, let me see your glory. Strange thing is, he had seen God's glory. He's seen him in the miracles. He's seen him in his provision. He's seen him so much in his journey. But it still wasn't enough, was it? Still wasn't enough for him. Lord, oh God, I want to see your glory. If any of you have managed to have a read, my request of you to read Ezekiel, then you know perhaps where I'm coming from on this. What Moses was actually asking here. Many people had had visions in the Old Testament. Lots of the other prophets had them. But also they went forward into the New Testament as well. Stephen, when he was about to be stoned, he saw heaven opened and the Lord. That's what caused him to be stoned. The Jews didn't want to hear that. They thought he was blaspheming, so they stoned him. What about Peter, when he saw the blankets come down from heaven, when he'd been called to go to Cornelius' house? I can't go there. They're Gentiles. Jews don't enter Gentiles' houses. And he saw three times his blanket come down. all different animals on it. He said, Peter, eat. The Lord said to him, Peter, eat. No, Lord, I can't do that. I've never done it. Don't say anything I've made clean. Don't say it's unclean. Peter's eating habits and perhaps his attitude, more importantly, have been changed in that vision. Who knows what Saul, who became Paul, what he saw when his eyes were covered by the, we might call them nowadays cataracts, what says, shells or something like that, isn't it, that covered his eyes. But he was blinded for 3 days and he'd be led about. This man, as he thought, this great man of God, who was now going around and he was going to get rid of this new church, these usurpers. He wasn't going to let that happen. He was blinded for a few days. And he was taken care of by one of the very people that he sought to do away with. I just wonder what he saw in those 3 days of his blindness. We know he prayed. We know he cried out to the Lord. I just wonder what things, what visions were shown to him, because they are hinted at in his letters. He says at one point, I know of a man who was brought up to heaven. I don't know whether it was in the spirit, whether he really was or not. I won't boast of a man like that. And that's Paul saying that. And I wonder if that is relating part of his experience when he was blinded. The things that he wrote, that we see that he had been a party to, been shown in the grace of God in those blind days, and the change it made in him. And then John on Patmos. I could read you, well, actually, in Ezekiel, that you may not have read it. It's not important for this as such, but if you get a chance to read it at some later date, please do. I got you to read Ezekiel 1. But if I got you to read a little bit further on in Ezekiel, I think it's either Ezekiel 8 or Ezekiel 10, that vision is expanded much more. And much of it relates to what John saw on Patmos when he saw the Lord walking amongst the lampstands. Much of it is very similar. Talking about rainbows, talking about legs that seem to be on fire, to burnished bronze, of the beauty of the void over him. Everything that, trying to describe everything that Jesus, or what was seen of Jesus by John later on in Revelation. So all these things come together, and that's what Moses was asking for. If I was to say to you right now, pretend you're a Neolithic man, and you were asked to describe a modern day, especially military, a modern day helicopter or aircraft, or perhaps make it more simple, the London Underground or the French Metro or the Russian Metro, which is amazing. I've seen pictures of it, not been there, seen pictures of it. What would you think? How would you write that? This amazing worm that comes on a rush of wind out of its lair. And these people are drawn into it, and it just takes them. And it carries them off again down its tunnel, never to be seen again. We hope an underground actually are to be seen again. But how would you describe that if you're a Neolithic man and given a vision of that? That's what some of these people saw. And that's what Moses desired to see. The fullest glory of God. Part of the vision was not denied to him, but part of it was. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. God was saying to him, this wasn't a case that he or Aaron had got what they got wrong, or that Moses had done something so wrong he was not allowed to see this glory of the Lord. It wasn't rejection, it was protection. Because if Moses had been allowed to see the fullest glory of the Lord, he probably would not have been able to withstand it. So it's protection. And it's also the fact that there's a realization now, I think, for Moses, that what he was asking for, what has been denied to man since Adam and Eve, they had this perfect relationship with God. They walked in his garden with him. They heard his footsteps. But then they sinned. And that relationship was broken forever. Or at least until Jesus came on a cross. And that relationship is open to us again now. But it's broken forever. And as far as we're concerned, anyway, for this moment. And Moses was asking for that, but it had to be denied him because God had said that man is now banished from my presence. It didn't stop him seeing what he needed to see. He didn't get the full glory of the Lord, but he got to see what he needed to see. I took a photograph of Jackie a little while ago for the link. You might remember the little quiz she did. I took a photograph of her. But that's just an image of her. It's not the full reality of Jackie. You know, when she's standing there, I could touch her. You know, she was just there. But the image that you got was just an image, and that's what Moses was led to see. That's what we're still allowed to see at the moment. So what's your desire for this coming year? God will allow you to see of him what you need to see at any one time. I hope your desire is the same for this new year as what Moses was. For this new journey he was about to go on. He was actually never to complete it, but he was allowed to see the promised land from the top of the mountain. And actually, the blessing didn't stop there. Moses never, I thought when I was thinking through, I thought, yeah, Moses didn't get to see the promised land, did he? What does that mean about our salvation? But what God did, and what Moses didn't realize at the time, I don't think, was that Moses, you could imagine towards the end of this story that Moses was actually buried by the very hand of God. He's taken up on that mountain, like imagine God scooping out some earth and laying Moses gently and covering him over, partly so that his bones wouldn't be found and that people would not sort of desecrate the grave or anything, but I also believe that Moses, or God had for Moses, something more in the future. And we know that to be true because he was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and Jesus discussing things. And his soul just didn't know what to do about it. We'll make a shelter. That's what we'll do. We've got to do something. We'll just make a shelter. No, that wasn't for them to do that. Moses was there. He'd been kept for something special in the future, as was Elijah as well. So I wonder what God has got for you that you don't realize quite at the moment when you seek his glory. That glory, that fullness of his glory, may be denied you right at this very moment. But you'll see it one day. If you've called on his name, you've repented of your sins. If you say, Jesus, I can't do this without you, his glory will not be denied you. You may not see it in its fullness now, but that glory will not be denied you in the future. And when you think you've done something so far wrong, there's no way back. Superglue wasn't invented in Moses' day. He couldn't take those tablets. Let me tell you another story about that. There was a present that was given to Jackie many years ago by a friend of hers. Christmas, thing. And I dropped it and I broke it. And I felt absolutely gutted about that because I know how precious it was to her. I got some super glue and I managed to fix it as best I could. And we managed to use it as part of Christmas decorations, managed to use it again this year. That wasn't open to Moses. He didn't have super glue. He couldn't super glue the tablets together. But God said, I will work with you to replace them. And that's so often. Look on Jackie's face when I managed to mend this and it was restored to its original place. That's a weak picture, isn't it? But God said to Moses, I will restore you. And what have you done? I will restore you. And he continued to do it as well. It wasn't the only mistakes that Moses made. In actual fact, the journey back to Egypt, God was about to kill Moses because he hadn't had his firstborn son circumcised. There's only Moses' wife, who wasn't even Jewish, did it for him. But she knew that Moses had a journey that's yet to be completed. God's on your side. You may not always like what he puts forward for you. Sometimes he'll place you in a cleft. He might do it over this year. You might desire something so much that he says, now is not the right time for that. Or it may be, he might say, now is not the time for that because I have got something more different for you, something better. Something that I desire for you, something that I want you to do for me. What better? Out of the back. What better, my good and faithful servant? Have that said to you. I have something more for you. But it might also be for your protection. The thing that you want may not be good for you. God prevents you from having it. It's not like a child that you don't want to have a sweet. It's not that. That God's got so much more for you. So in this coming year, please take the time to read. You know, many Christians will stick in the Old Testament. I know somebody who would only read the words of Jesus. There's so much in the Old Testament that points to Jesus. Steve's tried to do it, I hope, practicing a little bit of that in this, in the role that Jesus plays in our lives, because he's the Son of God. So please, I'm asking you this morning, can't check up on it, but I'm asking this morning, to make a commitment this year to read your Bibles more. I'm sure you all read them now, but it may be a little bit haphazard. Try to find the time in a busy life, and I know many people are busy. Families take up time. Try to find that time to read the Word of God and the wholeness of it. Even the bits that read it, even Leviticus, which is blooming hard work, and Numbers. I don't do Numbers very well, but there's so much in it. Even Jesus can be found in that. So please read them. Psalms as well. Many people just read Psalms, actually. It's all good, but it can be better as well. And to pray. Alongside that Bible reading, to pray. Yeah, and the prayer meetings we have on a Thursday morning now are so different to how they started. There's nothing wrong with praying for Aunt Nellie's bunion on her right foot. It's good. I'm painful for it. It's good to ask the Lord for healing for it. But I'm sure the Lord wants us to take us deeper into that as well. And I think we're reaching that in that time on Thursday morning. If you don't join now, please do try. Steve will send you the link. I think he always does. Just access it if you can. Come and be blessed as we've been. And the other thing I just want to ask, and that's to do with prayer. And I struggled over this. Another story of Moses when he stood on a mountain and Israel was battling against one of the neighbors from the other nations. And while Moses held his hand up like this over the battle went well for Israel. But as his hands tired and fell, the battle didn't go so well. So Aaron, and I think it was Joshua, stood the other, each side of him and lifted his hands up. They supported his hands. Support those in authority over you by lifting their hands in prayer. Support their hands so that what they may do may go well. If it's in the will of the Lord, pray into that as well. Also pray for us as leaders, as a diaconate, for Steve. It's so much easier sometimes to moan and groan like the Israelites did. We haven't got this, we haven't got that, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. Support us in prayer. Lift our hands so that the battle, and it is a battle, may go well with us and then also with you. So I'll leave you with that thought now. Let's just pray.